You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of AIDS 2008, the 17th International AIDS Conference. The conference took place in Mexico City from August 3rd through August 8th, 2008.
My name is Paul Sachs, and I'm the clinical director of the HIV program at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston and the associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. And today I presented the results of the 5202 study, ACDG 5202, comparing tenofovir FTC and abacavir 3TC. It was a comparison of those two drugs in patients with viral loads greater than 100,000. And here's the basics of the study. It was a four-arm study. Over 1,800 patients were randomized to one of four regimens. They either got abacavir 3TC plus tenofovir FTC placebo, or tenofovir FTC plus abacavir 3TC placebo. That was the nucleoside component. And the third drug was either favarins or boosted atazanavir. And the study started in 2005 and completed enrollment in November of 2007. We expected to complete follow-up of the patients in the fall of 2009. In January of 2008 of this year, the Data Safety Monitoring Board reviewed this study and found an increased number of virologic failures in the abacavir 3TC arm. So they said to us, instead of doing a four-arm comparison, why don't you combine it into two arms, tenofovir FTC versus abacavir 3TC, and also we would like you to unblind the nucleosides. So we did that. And the results that I presented today were really that analysis. It's the nucleoside comparison in the greater than 100,000 viral load stratum. And they were stratified at baseline by their screening viral loads. Baseline, the groups are pretty well matched. The one thing I want to mention is that only 43% of patients were genotyped at entry. They had to be genotyped if they had recently acquired infection, or they got genotyped because it was standard of care at their site, but it otherwise wasn't specifically required. And our primary result, which was time to virologic failure, found that there was an excess number of virologic failures in the abacavir 3TC arm versus the tenofovir FTC arm. 57 failures in the abacavir 3TC arm, 26 in the tenofovir FTC arm. And that was highly statistically significant at p equals 0.003, and there was a hazard ratio for failure of over 2 for abacavir 3TC. And we did a bunch of other analyses, and they were all pretty much consistent. A couple of things to mention was that virologic failure happened regardless of whether it was early in the course of the treatment or later in the course of treatment, and also, importantly, it did not seem to be caused by suspected abacavir hypersensitivity. There were 7% of suspected hypersensitivity in both study arms, and most of the patients who had suspected abacavir hypersensitivity did not have virologic failure. The other finding in the study, which was unanticipated, was that there was a shorter time to the first adverse event in the people receiving abacavir 3TC. Again, this was highly statistically significant. Most of these adverse events were metabolic in nature with increases in lipids. It's unclear whether these are clinically significant, but nonetheless, there were also other side effects such as body aches and pains, etc., that were seen more with abacavir 3TC than tenofovir FTC. There was one study death that was possibly related to abacavir 3TC after suspected HSR and then rechallenge. Clearly, the study site did not realize that it was suspected HSR, and that's how that ended up happening. We did do extensive education both before the trial started, during the trial, and then, of course, after this event about how to manage abacavir hypersensitivity. It was not standard of care to do HLA 5701 testing before when the study started, and we only started doing it towards the end of the study after the presentation of the PREDICT data last year. So that's, in essence, what the study showed, that there was a shorter time to virologic failure for these patients with high viral loads if they got abacavir 3TC versus tenofovir FTC. And then also that the hypersensitivity issue did not seem to explain the difference in the results. And then finally, more side effects were going on in the abacavir 3TC arm than the tenofovir FTC arm, and they happened sooner. The rest of the study keeps going. We're still going with the lower viral load stratum. We were assured from the Data Safety Monitoring Board that there didn't appear to be any kind of toxicity signal or efficacy signal that should make us stop. And then we're also continuing with the efavirenz versus the atazanavir-ritonavir comparison. And as I said, the study will be completed in fall of 2009.
Uh-huh. So what's the take-home? I mean, what's a practicing physician to do, and what's a patient to do if they're on Epsicom and they're doing fine?
Yeah. So one post-hoc analysis we did, which addresses that issue, is if patients have undetectable viral loads measured at less than 50 in our study, they did not have, at least at this point, an increased risk of virologic failure, whether they were on a vacavir or TC or tenofovir FDC. So that is an important sort of practical message for physicians and for patients, that if they have an undetectable viral load, they're tolerating it well, and there are no other compelling issues to make them want to change, then they should stay in what they're on. The study, though, does address the issue of people who come into care with very high viral loads, and I have to say, based on our study, prospective randomized double-blind study, which is the kind of the best evidence you can get, it does appear that tenofovir FDC is more effective virologically than abacavir 3TC, at least when combined with either efavirenz or boosted etazanavir.
How do we put this in context regarding renal insufficiency in the patient population? That seems to be quite common. So the other choice, it's not perfect either.
Yeah. So clearly there's no drug without side effects, and every clinically active HIV provider knows that there are patients for whom tenofovir nephrotoxicity can occur. In this particular study, we didn't see it at this point. There were only two cases of renal failure in both study arms. But in patients who have pre-existing renal disease, who are taking other nephrotoxic drugs, tenofovir might not be the best option for them, and one might still want to choose to use abacavir 3TC, especially since we now can test for HLA-B5701 and essentially eliminate the risk of severe hypersensitivity reactions.
Uh-huh. Were there hints before of abacavir's weaknesses in the Trizivir failure studies? Or
so when one looks at the Trizivir studies, you can't really compare it to this study, because Trizivir, of course, used an all-nucleoside approach. But that study did show something similar. The Trizivir studies also showed that people with high viral loads tended to have a less response than if they got other standard triple therapies. But differently from the 5095 data, which also showed that once they got below 50, they had a greater risk of rebound, we didn't see that. At least we didn't see it yet. As I said, the study is still ongoing, and we're collecting data even as we speak. One possible theoretical explanation for why tenofovir FTC might be better than abacavir 3TC has to do with the 184V mutation. That mutation is, of course, very common, and the 184V mutation does cause a loss of susceptibility to both 3TC and abacavir, but does not cause a loss of susceptibility to tenofovir.
Okay. Finally, doesn't this talk to the idea that we're going to be customizing therapy for patients so much more with every drug?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you've got to look at the patient, look at all the different characteristics. It might be that the studies going forward looking at nucleoside-sparing regimens might be the best for the kind of patient I described before. Like, let's say you have a person with underlying renal disease and they need to go on a regimen. It might be that a PI plus an integrase inhibitor is the best thing to give them. So I think you're clearly right. Every patient has to be considered individually. There's no one size fits all. And we have such good medicines now that there's no reason why we can't choose the best thing for our patients. One thing I do want to emphasize is that the response rates, even in the abacavir 3TC arm, were quite good overall, and that we were able to follow patients even after they had virologic failure or switched their regimens. And what is encouraging to see is that over time, all the curves sort of go together. So they get the sense that both first line and second line treatments now are so effective that so long as people are able to take their medicines, they should be able to be treated successfully.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on the 17th International AIDS Conference from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/AIDS2008.